Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all who are with us. Getting ready, the last week of our account going toward Shavuot, and exciting time we're living in. I pray that everybody out there is praying during these weeks and praying for Yahweh's Spirit to be poured out. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit different message called Mixing Seed in the Mark of the Beast. Mixing Seed in the Mark of the Beast. And with all the things going on over the last several months, Yahweh's really been opening up my mind to the importance of the message that we're going to hear today. And I want to start in Matthew 24. We've been going in there quite a bit in recent months. But Matthew 24, verse 3 and 4 says, "And as Yeshua was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age?'" So we've been talking about this a lot, right? And very clearly, there's no way to misinterpret what he's saying. They're asking for the sign of his coming in the end of the age. And the very first thing he says, "And answering Yeshua said to them, 'See that no man deceives you.'" And I've talked about this for a long time. All the deceptions out there, the rotating Sabbath and on and on and on. I'm not going to get into all the false conspiracy things going on right now. But over the last month or so, I am seeing this so different than I did before, because the deception that is there today is, it's scary how much the deception is, and it's in everything. It's in media, it's in news. I mean, it's, we're living in a world of deception, and it is this deception that's going to bring on the mark of the beast and also the falling away as we're seeing it. In verse 24, Matthew 24, it says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up, and they will give great signs and wonders so as to be led astray, if possible, even the chosen." So we've seen a lot of false things. We see in the internet age, they could perpetrate false information like anything. And it's amazing to think that, you know, with all the evil and all the garbage and all the really, really bad stuff that the internet allows, and yet recently we've seen in the last few weeks that if you even put something on about the danger of vaccinations, which is true, there's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of children that have been harmed by some of these vaccinations, that they'll ban you, that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid, and they're saying they're afraid of you getting false information when they're not afraid of all the other evil. So you can see through this, and praise Yahweh that the world even is starting to see through it. People in general now are understanding the evil of Google and Facebook and some of these other things. But it's all connected in here. When we're looking at mixing seed and the mark of the beast, and as we'll see today, that we should be thanking Yahweh so much for the truth he gives us, because that is the gold in our life. That is just, we should be cherishing his truth in a world where people are so deceived. They are so deceived. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the problem. It's a mixture. That it's, there's good in the evil, you know, and it's a mixture. And that's why when there's that mixture, people with their human nature aren't able to tell the difference. If we go to John 8 and verse 43, we'll see that Satan has been the great deceiver from the beginning. John 8 and verse 43 says, "Why do you not know my speech? It is because you are not able to hear my word," right? And the words of Yeshua to the world, they're it's like he's speaking a different language. They can't understand it because of the evilness of their heart. And then verse 44, John 8, 44, he says, "You are of the devil as father." Wow, that's a heavy saying. "You are the devil as father. And the lusts of your father you desire to do. That one," the devil, "was a murderer from the beginning, and he has not stood in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, because he is a liar and the father of it." So remember, it's not the tree of the knowledge of evil and evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're going to see here that the way that Satan deceives is by taking something that's actually true and just twisting it enough to make it into a lie. In verse 45, "And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." So that's what they won't believe. They won't believe the truth, and they'll ban the truth, but they'll allow anything that's not of the truth. So let's go to Genesis 3 now, and let's take a look at this. Genesis 3, and starting in verse 1, the serpent was cunning, right? He's clever, he's cunning, he's deceitful, above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Do you see the deceptiveness here, there? Because Yahweh did say that. He did say, you shall eat of every tree of the garden, but of one tree. So that's what Satan does. He'll give you part of the truth, and then he'll twist it. And it's like I said, when you're looking at the news, you're looking at everything out there. That is all you see today. It's all you see today. And it's so disheartening to see how much distortion and lies that are out there by Satan's global government and all these things. Drop down to verse 4 now. And the serpent says to the woman, surely you shall not die. Because she says, well, you know, Yahweh said, if we eat of this tree, we'll die. And what does he say? Surely you shall not die. Again, he lies to her. He lies to her. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be open and you will be as Elohim, knowing good and evil, right? So what does he do? He twists, like I said, he twists the truth just enough to make it into a lie. And we got to watch that in our life sometimes, you know, that sometimes are we twisting the truth even just a little bit to make it into a lie. So he says, when you eat this, you won't die, which is a lie to begin with. But he says that you're going to be like Yahweh, knowing the difference between good and evil. And it's just the opposite. It is just the opposite, because actually they don't know the difference between good and evil. And the human nature was corrupted from that point. And from that point, right, human beings changed completely. Their DNA changed, you know. Their cells started to die from that day. They didn't die that day, but they started to die that day. They were no longer going to live forever. So death comes into the world on that day. And literally now, right, because mankind is made in the image of Yahweh, right? Human beings, we made them in our image and we grow into his likeness. But what do? At that point when they reject that from Yahweh, they literally became a hybrid. They literally became a hybrid, because whose mind did they take at that point? They surrender to not the mind of Messiah. They surrender to the mind of the serpent. And they literally became a hybrid. And from that time, this is the problem that human beings don't realize, how corrupted our human nature is. Because our human nature now is a hybrid. Our human nature is a hybrid, that in one sense, we have the spirit of Yahweh, which gives us life. But in the other sense, your human nature is following the system in the world of Satan. So you're literally a hybrid. And that's why there had to be a second Adam. The second Adam had to come to do what? To redeem us back to what we were in the Garden of Eden. To purify our minds again to where it should have been. So it's the exact opposite. No longer are human beings mentally in the image of Yahweh. They're not that way anymore. Because now they're corrupted, right? And yeah, they'll know good and evil. They just won't know how to distinguish what's good and what's evil. But they're going to know good and evil, right? And the same up to today. There's good and evil out there. They just don't know the difference. They don't know what is good and what's evil. And that's where Satan has had these people for 6,000 years now deceived. The problem is Leviticus 19:19, right? Leviticus 19:19 says, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not cause your livestock to breed with different kinds, right? Everything according to its own kind. You shall not sow two kinds in your field, right? Like we said, we don't make a water mayo or a tomato melon. And you shall not allow a garment of mixed fabric to come upon you, right? You're not to mix, like it says, wool and linen. Wool comes from an animal, linen comes from a plant. You're not to mix different kinds together. And literally that word means to intertwine, right? Because this is exactly what was happening here in the Garden of Eden when the serpent was deceiving them. That now their DNA, their mixture, their humanness has become a hybrid with the mind of Satan. And that's what Satan did in them. They rejected the mind and mentality of Yahweh, and they took it. But in the Garden of Eden, and maybe we'll go there now, let's go to Genesis 1 and verse 25. Because that's what Yahweh said, you're not to mix different kinds. So Leviticus 19:19, what I just read, is basically just a reiterating of what we saw in the Garden of Eden. So Genesis 1 and verse 25 says, "And Elohim made the beast of the earth according to its kind, and cattle according to its kind, and all creepers of the ground according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good," right? So everything has its kind. We have the cattle kind. We have the canine, the dog kind. We have the bird kind, right? You have the swine kind. You have the pig kind. You have, and within those different categories, there's variety. Just like there's variety of flowers, and there's variety of planets. There's variety of everything, because Yahweh is Elohim of variety. He does it because he wants us to see the beauty and take pleasure in variety of things. But everything within its kind, like I said, there might be 5 or 8 different kinds of tomatoes. There's cherry tomatoes, there's plum tomatoes. But you can't mix a tomato with a watermelon. You can't mix a tomato with an eggplant. You can't mix these things, because everything was made in its kind. And we have to see that, that what we just read here in Genesis 3 was a mixing of that kind, where we're made in the image of Yahweh. We look like him, but we were to grow in his likeness. It was the opposite. By calling Yahweh a liar and not believing him and believing the serpent, literally mankind took the human nature of Satan. And they've been doing it for 6,000 years. So in verse 26, and Elohim says, "Let us," Yahweh the Father and Yeshua Yahweh the Son, "let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the cattle and all the creeping things." And Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created them male and female. So now let's drop down to verse 31. "And Elohim saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, day 6. So everything that Yahweh created was good. So we don't have to create a tomato melon, you know? We don't have to, because everything Yahweh made was perfect. Everything's made in its own kind. There's a DNA to cattle, and there's a DNA to dogs, and we don't cross them. You know, there's plants. Like I said, when you have plants, you have different types of plants. You have grain plants, and you have vegetable plants, and all different. And we're not to cross and mix, because everything Yahweh made was perfect. And that's all faith is. Faith is just believing that. And when we try to cross, and when we try to mix, and when we try to create something that he didn't create, what we're doing is we're calling him a liar, just like Satan did in Genesis 3. We're saying, no, it wasn't perfect. I need to do one better. Just like babies are born. Can you imagine? Babies are born perfect. They're born perfect. They're born beautiful. They're given life. And within a matter of hours or days of that life, they want to start injecting them with things. They want to make them into a hybrid. They want to make them something different than what they are. Babies don't need that. They don't need all these vaccinations at their birth. And they know, actually, that if they even just waited with some of these vaccinations till after the children were more than 3 years old or 5 years old, that it would be dramatically different, the effects, and they don't care. They don't care, because you know what? That's the plan of Satan, is to make hybrids. That's the plan of Satan, to destroy life, not to give life. He's not the life giver, remember? You know, he's the life taker. The first Adam was a spirit that was given life. The second Adam, though, is a life-giving spirit that gives life. He doesn't take life, he gives life, Yeshua. So this is where we're at, right? And we need to make everything perfect. Go to Genesis 2 now in verse 7. Because what was mankind's job? "And Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the earth," right? Man is, he's made of dust. He's made of clay. He's made of dirt. "And he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So here we are, this clay that Yahweh is molding, and dirt from the ground, and the only thing that makes us alive is his breath of life, and then when we die, he takes that breath back, and we go back to the earth. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden in Eden to the east, and he put the man who he had formed there. And out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to sight, good for food. The tree of life was also in the middle of the garden, also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So very clear in verse 15, and Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. That was man's job. It wasn't to change it. It was to work it and keep it. Because everything Elohim made was good. It was perfect. And mankind's job was to keep it that way. That Yeshua was going to train Adam as the priest of the garden on all the ways to keep it perfect the way it was created. And yet he didn't believe him. He didn't believe Yahweh. So man's job is to keep the garden, or you could say the earth, right? Because he's given dominion over the earth in its perfect form. And like I said, that's all faith is. Faith is simply believing every word of Yahweh is true and not trying to come up with something that's better. Believing everything that Yahweh says and makes is perfect. And that's why we have to surrender our will to him, because our human nature and our free will is corrupted. It's absolutely corrupted. And the only way that you're going to get back to Eden is by surrendering your human nature to the Father. That's it. If not, you're going to stay in your hybrid state until the lake of fire comes. So we need to be surrendering our free will, because at this point we're a hybrid. We're made in the image of Yahweh, but we can only become in his likeness by having his spirit totally transform us. Galatians 5, verse 24 and 25. Galatians 5, 24 and 25 says, but the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with his passions and lusts, right? We're not to feed the flesh. We're not to live to the flesh. We're to crucify it. Crucify it daily with his passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. Why? Because that's the Spirit of Yahweh. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, right? Self-control. These are all the things that the Spirit of Yahweh will transform us back to who we were created to be. You know, get us out of this hybrid state that Satan has put us into. Let's go to Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, even as sin entered the world through one man, we just read about it, right? And death through sin. So also death passed to all men inasmuch as all sinned. Because that nature that mankind took on has passed to each person. Because now that's part of our genetic makeup, right? That's our choice. Our free will has made us into these creatures of evil. That mankind wants. He wants to choose for himself what is good and what is evil. And where's it gotten us? 6,000 years later, here we are. And it's more evil now than it's ever been in the history of mankind. Drop down to verse 15. But the free gift is not also like the offense. For if by the offense of the one, the many died, how much more the grace and gift of Elohim, because of the one man, Yeshua Messiah, be increased for many. So praise Yahweh for that second Adam. And the effect of the gift of Elohim was greater than the effect of the offense of Adam. For while the judgment of one man's offense resulted in the condemnation of many, but the free gift of Elohim and the forgiveness of sins resulted in justification for many more. Praise Yahweh. For if by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who are receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall rule in life by the one Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, on account of the offense of one, condemnation was to all men. So on account of the righteousness of one, will the victory unto life be to all men. For as on account of the disobedience of one man, many became sinners, so also on account of the obedience of one, many become righteous. And if we could just get this through our head, that you have to surrender your human nature. You have to stop holding on to that nature. You have to stop making these decisions for yourself. You have to stop deciding what is good and what is evil. And you have to let Yahweh do it. Because if not, we're living in a time where you will be deceived. And I understand now where the Bible says, if possible, even the elect would be deceived. Because the elect can be deceived. We're only human. And deception is so bad out there, there's only one way to fight it, and that's total surrender to Yahweh. Because Yahweh will never deceive you. The word of Yahweh will never deceive you. The only thing that will deceive you is if you allow Satan into your life. That's where the deception will come. So Yeshua came to redeem us back to be a pure breed child of Yahweh. Take us out of this hybrid state that we were put in. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But we have to willingly surrender to Him and willingly give back that free will to Him. Therefore, brethren, I call on you through the compassion of Elohim to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this age, right? Because who's the God of this age? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what it's all about, the renewing of your mind. Taking away this corrupted human nature and the mind of the serpent and putting on the mind of Messiah. By the being transformed by the renewing of your mind in order to prove by you what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of Yahweh. Right? We want the tree of life. We want the tree of good and good. We don't want the tree of good and evil. Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. Because if not, there's no way to be a child of Yahweh without doing that. It's got to be total surrender to Him. There's no compromise in the kingdom of Yahweh. Romans 8 and verse 5 says, for the ones that are according to flesh, mind the things of the flesh, and the ones according to the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded, worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, it's hatred toward Elohim. It is not subject to the Torah of Elohim, and it's not possible to be so. So that's what happens. The Laodicean mindset, right? He wants to do all these tiny little things, like a Pharisee, and think that that's pleasing to Yahweh. And it's not. It's not pleasing to Yahweh because there's no change of heart, there's no change of mind. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. Very simple. Very simple. Those in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. This is why you can't please Yahweh in the flesh, as we are a hybrid of the serpent's system of rebellion. From the day we're born, like I said. From the day that child's born, he's already getting all those evil injections into his pure little body, to the way he's brought up, and he's brought up with that human nature, choosing for himself what is good and what is evil, and every person does, and that's why people say, well, the way I think, well, the way I look at it, and it really don't matter. It doesn't matter how any of us look at it. The only thing that matters is how does the word of Yahweh look at it? How does Yahweh look at it? That's it. Romans 7, if you don't believe me yet, then Romans 7, I mean, puts it plain, because it's a very hard thing, and that's why, to be honest, you wonder, in a world of close to 8 billion people, why do so few people want to come to the truth? Why do so few people on this planet ask the questions, why was I born? You know, is there a creator up there? What does he want of me? Because people, human nature, want to believe they're good. They want to believe that way. And when you go to people and you tell them that they have to repent and they have to change, what do they tell you? They tell you, oh, no, no, no. I worship Yahweh my own way. You know, they don't even use Yahweh. They use God because they do worship their God their way. And they say, you know, they have this, you know, they have this certain relationship. It's not from the Bible. It's what's in their heart, which is evil, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately evil. So in their heart, they're thinking, because they're thinking from their own mind, that they're serving a God, and the God they're serving is Satan. Because in their mind, you know what they say? Well, Elohim doesn't care about what day of the week you worship on, and Elohim doesn't care about this, he doesn't care about that, even though his word says what he cares about. They're telling you what they think. They're taking the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're choosing what is good and what is evil. And he wouldn't mind that I work on Sabbath. You know, he wouldn't mind that I do this. He doesn't mind that I divorce my wife. He doesn't mind that I do this. He doesn't mind that I do that. And that's what they're doing. They're doing it because the carnal mind is hatred to Yahweh, and it can't be pleasing to him. And here in Romans 7, right, starting in verse 15, or 14. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. For I do not know what I do. For I do not do the thing that I want, but I do the thing which I hate. This is what I do. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, right? He says, but if I do what I do not wish to do, I agree with the Torah that it's good. Now then, it is not I who do it, but the sin which dominates in me, right? It's the mind of the serpent, the mind of the serpent. For I know that it does not fully dominate me, that is in my flesh, but as far as good is concerned, the choice is easy to make, but it's difficult for me, right? Why? Because they're choosing for themselves. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're deciding what's good and they're deciding what's evil. For it is not the good that I desire to do that I do, but it is the evil that I do not desire that I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin which dominates me. I find therefore that the Torah agrees with my conscience when I desire to do good, but evil is always near distracting me. For I delight in the Torah of Elohim according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members having warred against the law of my mind and taking me captive by the law of sin in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this mortal body, right? That's every human being that ever lived. So this is very clear that you have to understand how evil your human nature is, because your human nature is working from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in Satan's world today, that evil has expanded. And it's really the tree of the knowledge of evil and more evil and evilest. It's just getting worse in the days we're living in. Excuse me. So is there an answer? Praise Yahweh, verse 25 is there. I thank Yahweh through Yeshua, Messiah, our Master, so that I myself with the mind truly serve the Torah of Elohim, but with the flesh the law of sin. So I thank Yahweh through Yeshua, Messiah, our Master, the second Adam. Praise Yahweh that the second Adam came to free us. But it's just like the Garden of Eden all over again, and you have to make that decision. You know, are you going to stay a hybrid of the serpent, or are you going to put on the mind of Messiah? Which one is it going to be? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. He says, for the love of Messiah constrains us, having judged this, that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he died for all, that the living ones may live no longer to themselves, but to the one having died for them and having been raised. Right? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. Now, he died for us, now we live for him. We're living sacrifices. So as we now know no one according to flesh, but even if we have known Messiah according to flesh, yet now we no longer know him. So that if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. And we have to embrace this. You don't have to live this way anymore. You don't have to be a hybrid of the serpent. With Yahweh's spirit in you, that literally he came to redeem us, like we read in Romans 5, he came to redeem us from the curse that was there. And that curse is what? That curse is rejecting Yahweh. That curse is questioning Yahweh. And here it is that we can be. Through the spirit of Yahweh, we become a new creation that we were meant to be in the Garden of Eden. That's what we're there to be. But don't forget, Satan seed is still there. Matthew 13, the seed of Satan is still there. Matthew 13 in verse 36. And this is an end time scripture, right? He's sending the crowds away. They're asking him about the parable of the sower in the field. And look what he says. Verse 37. The one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the cherubs are the reapers. Then as the tares are gathered and consumed in the fire, so will be in the completion of this age, the time we're living in now. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those practicing lawlessness. People waiting for the rapture. This is the rapture. Not the getting taken to heaven, getting taken to the lake of fire. And they will throw them in the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The ones having ears to hear, let him hear. This is where we're at. And it is serious and it's dangerous because we are living in a time now where through technology, Satan is doing something that Yahweh never allowed him to do before. We're going to see that shortly. 2 Corinthians 4. He says, for this reason, 4:1, 2 Corinthians 4:1, for this reason we are not weary of the ministry in which we have engaged, just as we are not weary of the mercies that we have that have been put upon us. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor corrupting the word of Yahweh, but by the revelation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of men before Yahweh. But also, if our good news is being hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. And we're going to see why they're lost, because they're choosing to be lost. To those whose eyes have been blinded by the god of this world, by Satan, because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious good news of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, and that's what he's doing, he's bringing us back to be the image of Yahweh, should shine on them, right? Why are they being lost? Because their eyes are blinded by the god of this world, by the god of this world, by Satan, because they did not believe Yahweh. And when we go out there, it's a real simple message, right? You have a corrupted human nature. The only way to the kingdom of Yahweh is this way. Repent of your sins. Repent of who you are, not just what you're doing. And allow the spirit of Yahweh to enter you and transform you. And people want to say no. They don't need that. They don't need it. They have their own way. It's pride, it's vanity, and it's the spirit of Satan. And now we're getting like Lazarus and the rich man. That gulf is widening and widening. And now it's getting to the point where the people, the first fruits of Yahweh, can't pass over to that other side, and the evil world of Satan can't pass there. We're coming very close to that point, because there's a point of no return, as we're going to see here, which is coming very quick. Ephesians 2:2-3 says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the ruler of the authority of the air, the prince of the power of the airwaves, the spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience, and those very deeds in which we are corrupted from the very beginning through the lusts of our flesh, doing the things willed of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. So how is Satan doing this in the end time now? The prince of the power of the airwaves is using these electro airwaves that are out there, right? Starting with radio, right? How does telephone? How can you be on the phone and talk to somebody that's like 10,000 miles away and you can hear them perfectly, right? Because it's the frequency that goes out. It's the same as radio frequency. And then it goes to television and DVD and now internet. Because, and you look at these things, 4G and 5G and maybe even the 6G that's coming, that, and they're putting these satellites now, right? These thousands of satellites that are putting like a canopy above the earth of satellites, that they're going to be using those satellites, and they're using the internet to basically control the whole world. And that's why, what do you think I've been saying for years? Stay off of it. Stay away from this. Stay off social media, because it's not something good. But I want to read you now a technology here. I've talked about this before, but I want to read it because it is 100% connected with the Mark of the Beast, from Elon Musk. Elon Musk, the guy who started Tesla, the electric car, but now he's into newer things, right? And Elon Musk is making implants to link the brain with a smartphone. Elon Musk wants to insert Bluetooth-enabled implants into your brain, claiming the devices could enable telepathy and repair motor function in people with injuries. The devices consist of a tiny chip connected to 1,000 wires measuring 1/10 of the width of a human hair. Can you imagine how small it is? The chip features a USB or C port, the same adapter used by Apple and MacBooks, and connects via Bluetooth to a small computer worn over the ear and to a smartphone. If you're going to stick something in a brain, you want it not to be that large, Musk said. playing up the device's diminutive size. The company says that up to 10 units, or patches, whatever you want to call them, 10 units can be placed in a person's brain. The chips will be connected to an iPhone app that the user can control. The devices will be installed by a robot built by the startup. Musk said the robot, when operated by a surgeon, will drill a 2-millimeter hole in the person's skull. The chip part of the device will plug the hole in the patient's skull. The interface to the chip is wireless, so you have no wires poking out of your head. That's very important, Musk said. Trials could start before the end of 2020. So I'm going to show you a video shortly. But on the video, that video was from December of last year. So when they say by the end of next year, they're talking about this year. They're talking about 2020, not 2021. Musk said, likening the procedure to LASIK eye correction therapy. Musk plans to develop human-computer implants comes on the heels of similar efforts by Google, Facebook, but critics aren't so sure customers should trust tech companies with data ported directly in their brain. Yeah, I mean, that's only logic, right? Not to trust tech companies to implant something on your brain where they can control you. The idea of entrusting big enterprises with our brain data should create a certain level of discomfort for society, said Daniel Newman, principal analyst at Futurum Research and co-author of the book Human Machines. There is no evidence that we should trust or be comfortable with moving in this direction. And yet we know they are. We know they're going to move in that direction. So it's pretty scary, right? Because here we are, Revelation 13. Let's go there. Revelation 13 and verse 8. And all those dwelling in the earth will worship him, the beast power, those of whom the names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. And we say that Satan will be in a human form or a hybrid form, part human, part machine, right? Drop down to verse 15. And it was given to it to put life in the image of the beast, right? What is this life? It's Satan, spirit. So that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the freemen and the slaves, it causes that they give them all a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. And this is what they're saying. That it's like your mouse on the computer, right? That's all the chip is. The chip is nothing. The chip is just controlling what they're putting in your brain, in the forehead, right? And the hand is what you do, and the forehead how you think. Isn't that interesting? That your hand will be your mouse, the forehead is how you're thinking. Even that not any could buy or sell except the one having the mark or the name of the beast or the number of their name. Let me read you another article here before we move on. And this is about Bill Gates and Microsoft. Microsoft has patented a system that uses human biometrics such as body heat and brainwave activity to mine cryptocurrencies, buying and selling. The patent, filed under international patent number, WO, World Order, right, 2020, and here's the patent number, 060606, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, titled Cryptocurrency System Using Body Data Activity, leverages human body activity as proof of work. As to how body activity and biometrics will be communicated to servers and cryptocurrency hardware, the patent explains that a sensor communicatively coupled to or comprised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. So the patent has all these patents for sensors. There's the fMRI scanner, the NIRS sensor, the EEG sensors, ultrasound sensors, cameras, and other things. They have patents on all this stuff that will use it. In other words, a chip will be inserted into the body that monitors a person's daily physical activity in return for cryptocurrency. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has donated more than $21 million towards developing a vaccine technology that uses a tattoo-like mechanism which injects invisible quantum dot nanoparticles under the skin that is now being tested in a vaccine against the virus that causes COVID-19, right? The human implantable mark, when injected, emits a glowing red X pattern as it delivers the vaccine. And what is left behind is capable of data storage, right? It's a chip. And retrieval for years afterward. Not only that, it is off-stated aim and the goal of Bill Gates and his wife Melinda to give a quantum dot vaccination mark to every human being on the face of the earth to help distinguish those with COVID-19 with those without. Immunity passports, right? Immunity passports. So that's what we have here. And I know Bill Gates is a global person. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff on the internet about him, that he's the devil, he's the mark of the beast, he's the beast and all this stuff. I don't believe Bill Gates is that important, but he does have the money and the means to bring this about. And it is something that's here. This is not something that's out of the way. And believe me, when you're talking about immunity passports, they are coming very shortly. And I'm praying that Yahweh has some mercy on us and gives us a little more time before this vaccine is made, because once it's made, if you don't take the vaccine, you're not going to be able to travel. And you're not going to be able to buy and sell. They're telling us this. And here we are. We're at this point. We're at this point. Because the same companies that have been making these vaccines that have been destroying children for years, right, are the same companies that's making this for the mark of the beast. Revelation 18 and verse 23. Revelation 18 and verse 23. The second part, you know, the light of the lamp will not shine, the bride and the bridegroom will not be heard, but the second part says, why? Because of Babylon. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, right? Who's behind all this stuff? It's all these big, powerful companies that are behind this stuff. For by your sorceries all the nations were deceived. By your sorceries, the word there is pharmakia, by which comes the word pharmacy, by your medicines, right? By your medicines. All the nations were deceived. And the average person on the planet, at least in the United States, maybe other places too, take 5, 6, 7 pills a day. They want to get everybody on every single pill they could. But these vaccinations, wow, who knows what they're implanting into people when they do it. So we are at this point now. We are at this point. But this is the thing I want to show you. That Satan is a counterfeiter, right? He's a counterfeiter. And I said this before. They talk to people who work their whole life with being able to realize counterfeit money. And it was very interesting what the person said. He said, in his whole life working with counterfeit money, he hardly ever worried about the counterfeit, right? Because you can counterfeit in many ways. What he did was make sure he knew the true. And as long as you know the true, you can never fall for the counterfeit. So you can't worry about the counterfeit. You can't be studying the counterfeit, because that's the way you get deceived. You have to study the true. That's the way it has to be. So Satan is a counterfeiter. He tries to counterfeit Yahweh's plan of making Yahweh beings. But with him, he can only make hybrids with a demonic spirit. He is not a creator. Satan can't duplicate what Yahweh is doing. He can't create life. He can't create humans. All he can do is counterfeit a hybrid human that's human with this technology that Yahweh is going to allow him to use, and putting a demonic spirit in him. So what I want to do now is I want to show you a video on this technology to show you how serious this is, and it's here, and possibly even by the end of this year they're starting experimenting on this, and then we'll finish from there.
Listen to this one. Mind-reading technology might soon come from the realm of science fiction now to fact. We're talking about Elon Musk's latest side project. Maybe it's a side hustle, his startup Neuralink.
Well, it sounds like science fiction, but tonight Elon Musk says he plans to make it a reality. He's creating a brain implant that merges our brains with artificial intelligence.
Now talking up a brain implant technology that they just put this chip, I guess, into your skull. And then you just... I don't know what good it does, but it's there, and then it follows you and tracks you. So this way my wife could keep track of my Dunkin' Donuts visits and all the rest. I don't know where this goes.
And Elon Musk hopes to have the brain implant inside a patient's head by late next year.
Elon Musk had positioned this as a way of potentially treating cognitive degenerative diseases.
Right, right.
But if you actually go back and look at other technologies, like, for example, gene editing, that started off as a way to help with therapies and medical usage, but has now sort of turned into something more onerous, and you sort of worry this goes in a similar direction.
And I've said a lot about AI over the years, but I think even in a benign AI scenario, we will be left behind. And so, and hopefully it is a benign scenario, but I think with a high bandwidth brain-machine interface, I think we can actually go along for the ride. And we can effectively have the option of merging with AI. And this is extremely important.
Hang on, because he wants to do trials literally, I think, within the next year. Musk says the company is planning to equip its first human patient with that technology by the end of next year.
What?
The threads are very tiny, and the...
He can do it. He's a genius.
Russ Hancock, the CEO of joint venture Silicon Valley, believes if anyone can merge human beings with artificial intelligence, it's Elon Musk himself.
This is a guy that has changed the world as we know it with an electric car that actually works. This is a guy that's boring tunnels through the earth. This is a guy that's trying to put people on Mars. Mm-hmm. Now he's trying to get inside your brain.
It's one thing to bore holes into the ground, which is what he does with Boring Company, now potentially looking for volunteers to bore tiny little holes into their skulls. How far are they from potentially getting the approval to do that?
Well, you know, they're claiming that they would like to start human trials next year. I mean, the first batch of people that do this are not going to be typical consumers. It's going to be people who've been paralyzed and really have no other options. And so, you know, according to Neuralink, they want to start these trials near the end of next year. The big issue, of course, is the FDA and whether they would approve something like this. Neuralink has a really high bar.
Well, what's really changed most dramatically from the world of 2013 to the world of today is everybody is aware that Facebook is up to no good, that Google is up to no good, that all of these companies are really trying to shape and influence not just our societies, but our lives, our buying habits, every kind of general behavior that we have in a deeply targeted and personal way. And it's technology that is enabling this and making it all possible for the first time. Now, again, that hasn't solved the problem, but the first step to solving any problem is we have to create a shared sense of understanding. We need a common set of facts, and today we have that.
1 year ago, Tucker spoke to Gordon Chang about this system. Watch.
What we have in China is that there's so many people there, of course, the government wants to control them, and so what they're doing is they're collecting data. They're collecting data from 600 million cameras that they'll have in place in 2020. They're going to have, you know, traffic checks, all the rest of it. This is being rolled out, and it's being rolled out very quickly. So, for instance, you've got people who are not allowed to board planes and trains because their social credit score is far too low.
I'm not kidding. For example, if you have frivolous spending, that'll work against you in China. Smoking in a smoke-free zone, that'll cost you points. Is that the society you want to live in? Guess what? It's coming to America, courtesy of Silicon Valley. Brett Larson says it's true, and he is on Fox News headlines 24/7. Brett, that scary stuff in China. It started in 2014. They're rolling it out now.
Yes.
What do you mean it's heading here?
It's heading here, and it's kind of already here. And when you think about it, we share a lot of personal information on Facebook. We share when we're out with our friends. We might share when we're out having drinks with our friends. Maybe we're on the beach. Maybe we're having a fun vacation.
A traffic light with facial recognition. Cross on red, face a public shaming, and lose social credit points. In some Chinese cities, it's already a reality. Even those who sort their trash incorrectly have to reckon with point deductions in some places, as well as the penalties for low scores, like losing the right to ride the fast train. The point system is scheduled for full implementation across China by the end of 2020.
If you can't beat them, join them. You know, that's what Neuralink is about, is like, can we go along for the ride with AI? I mean, I really think that there should be other companies like Neuralink, essentially to create a high bandwidth interface to the brain, because right now we are already a cyborg. People don't realize we are already a cyborg because we are so well integrated with our phones and our computers. The phone is almost like an extension of yourself. If you forget your phone, it's like a missing limb. But the bandwidth, the communication bandwidth to the phone is very low, especially input. So, in fact, input bandwidth to computers has actually gone down because of typing with two thumbs as opposed to 10 fingers. There's a big reduction in bandwidth. Input bandwidth has gone up because of video and imagery. I mean, I'm a naturally optimistic person, to be clear. I'm not saying, hey, doom and gloom. I'm just saying this is the apparent pattern. The rate of change of technology is incredibly fast. It is outpacing our ability to understand it. Well, I'm not sure, is that good or bad? I don't know. I mean, this is the first time in the 4.5 billion year history of Earth that it's been possible to extend life beyond Earth. Before this, it was not possible. How long will this window be open? It may be open for a long time, or it may be open for a short time. I think it would be wise to assume that it is open for a short time. I think we should not take it for granted that consciousness will continue, because we have not encountered any.
In its current narrow form, AI can already outperform humans at literally any mental task, from solving equations to playing chess. But if we were to unleash its full potential and develop AI into a wide form of intelligence, it could and would outperform humans in every way imaginable, especially if we partner it up with robotics. Musk sees only one way of escaping the impending doom of an AI-facilitated human extinction, and that is to somehow merge our own intelligence with machine intelligence. Without realizing, we are all already somewhat merged with machine intelligence by merely owning a smartphone and having access to the internet. With the World Wide Web at our fingertips, we are countless times smarter than without. The only limitation that we have is speed. Searching for information using the internet is slow in the way that we have to find, read, and process before we can relay any information back out. All of this takes time. The goal of Neuralink is to make this connection between man and machine seamless. And the best way to do that is to physically merge the two together using a microchip brain implant. So what exactly is this first-gen brain implant? Dubbed the N1, the very first Neuralink implant is a tiny 4x4mm square chip that will be directly implanted into the brain. Attached to the chip are tiny wires that are 10 times thinner than a human hair, which coincidentally is about the same thickness as a neuron. The threads are embedded into essential parts of the brain, where they can decipher messages that are transmitted between neurons. The threads then relay that information back to the chip, where it records the impulses, evaluates the data, and then stimulates its own responses. The chip and wires not only read the information that the brain communicates, but also inputs information back into the brain as well. A single Neuralink chip will be able to connect and communicate with 1,000 different brain cells, and an individual will be able to house as many as 10 implants, totaling 10,000 connections. Testing so far of the N1 chip has been limited, but a restricted version with just 256 electrodes did see human patients controlling computer cursors, speech synthesizers, and robotic limbs with nothing but the power of their mind. Currently, the best FDA-approved brain implant has just 10 connections. So, with this in mind, it's clear that the potential of Neuralink's chip is pretty much unrivaled. You'd think that the installation of such a device would be really complicated, dangerous, and invasive. But Musk has been very clear that the installation of Neuralink chips will be as straightforward as laser eye surgery. In the early stages, the installation of the chip will be done by the hand of a brain surgeon. But eventually, the entire procedure will be machine-operated. Neuralink are putting as much effort into the design and development of their robotic surgical device as the chips and wires themselves. Musk says that it will be able to undertake the procedure more intelligently and accurately than any human could, so it's the obvious route to go down. For the time being, the scope for Neuralink's technology will be to help those with physical and mental disabilities, used to help paraplegics with movement, amputees control artificial limbs, and those with memory loss reform connections. As the Neuralink N1 chip develops and gets smarter, though, the possibilities get far more interesting. I'm sure Mr. Musk is over the moon that his tech can and most likely will help those with disabilities. But I think it's the more out there possibilities of merging humans with AI that really gets his juices flowing. In the distant, or maybe not so distant future, Musk sees Neuralink's AI chips being installed along the same lines as plastic surgery. As in, it will be an optional surgery that some people get done, but it won't be absolutely mandatory. Although he also says that if everybody around you has the brain power of a quantum computer, then you will probably be tempted to get the procedure done yourself, especially if you plan on competing for jobs and keeping up with conversations. The possibilities of Neuralink's AI implants are endless, and that's not a figure of speech. AI's knowledge literally has no endpoint, because it's forever learning, working things out, and becoming better, all at a rate that we can't even comprehend. To paint a picture for you, with the help of Neuralink, you'll be able to do everything that your computer or smartphone can, but directly through thought. If you need to answer a question, your brain will just know it, because it has untapped access to the internet, just like how you currently have untapped access to your own knowledge. With Neuralink, you'll automatically know everything that you'd usually need to ask without even having to pop the question. Date, time, weather, geographical location, Brad Pitt's height in inches, anything. But Neuralink is not all about information. It's also about interaction and communication. Because the embedded AI can wirelessly transmit electrode signals, users will essentially be able to communicate with other computers and chip-wearing people with mind power alone. This communication will be almost instant, as it would have zero of the physical restraints that we currently have attached to speaking and typing. Think of it like pinging a thought into somebody else's Dropbox, but faster. Neuralink essentially turns you into a living, breathing Alexa that can control pretty much anything with an internet connection. Video games, drones, cars, all powered through thought. Musk's mission to merge humans with AI is a pretty crazy concept to wrap your head around, but the speed and direction that Neuralink is moving makes it one with genuine possibility. In the immediate future, the technology will most likely benefit the lives of countless people, but who knows how intelligent these chips will really get. I find it strange that Musk is fearful of a computer-based AI, but sees no problem with a human-based system. I can see hacking, bugs, and weaponization being a genuine issue of having a population of cyborgs. But hopefully, with the help of AI, we will be smart enough to figure all that out at a later date. The first human testing of the full-spec N1 Neuralink chip is planned for the end of 2020, so it might not be long until we see this technology really taking shape.
So, pretty shocking. Pretty shocking, the technology that they have there and the technology they're using. And I want to go now to Daniel 2 and verse 31, because I know we talked about Daniel a lot, right, with the beast power and the symbolism, which I believe is all true. But after seeing this technology, I read Daniel 2, and you know what, just on face value, let's read this again and look at it maybe in a little different way than we might have before. Daniel 2 and verse 31 says, "You, O king, were seeing, and behold, a certain great image." Now think about what you just saw in this video. He says, "That great image stood before you with a brilliant brightness, and its form was terrifying. The head of the image was fine gold. Its breast and its arms were like silver. Its belly and its thighs were like copper," right? This sounds like a robot or something, doesn't it? Exactly what they're trying to do. But look at the last part of this beast. "Its legs were of iron, and its feet were partly of iron and partly of clay." What is that telling us? What do we say? That man is made from what? He's made from dirt. Clay is dirt. And there's a mixture here in this beast of taking man, taking dirt, and mixing it with iron, mixing it with metal, mixing it with a machine. And just on face value, when you read this, this is exactly what they're doing. And that's why in Daniel 7 and verse 7 says, "And after this, I was looking in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast was frightening and terrifying." Why? Because it's a mixture, it's a hybrid of a human being with a demon. Actually, it's really not a machine. It's a demon. "And the beast was frightening and terrifying and exceedingly strong. And to it were huge iron teeth that devoured and crushed and stamped what was left in its feet. And it was different than all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns." So he's terrified because it's a human being with a demonic presence in it, and that's what they're building here, these cyborgs, these taking human, putting implants, making humans into machines, you know, and it's to a degree something like we saw in Genesis 6, only even more demonic, because the technology we have is so much greater. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Because I hope you're starting to see why the mark of the beast is so sinister now. Because it's not simply of just having a computer chip in your hand. It's literally where you're created to become in the image of Yahweh. It's mankind becoming in the image of Satan. It's the exact opposite. So Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 3. He says, "Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day will not come unless first there comes a great rebellion and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." We're in those days. "The one opposing and exalting himself over everything, being called Elohim," or object of reverence, "so as for him to sit in the sanctuary of Elohim as an El, and sets himself forth as he is Elohim." And believe me, when Satan comes through this form he's going to take, he wants to be worshipped because he wants to counterfeit everything of Yahweh. "Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was with you? And now you know what has prevented him from being revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working," we see that, "until he who is now the obstacle is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be exposed, whom our master Yeshua will consume by the spirit of his mouth, and he will destroy by the brightness of his coming." Praise Yahweh there. So Satan will literally be in a hybrid human form, and so will other human beings taking this mark, doing every kind of false sign and wonder. Look at verse 9. "And his coming is due to the working of Satan in all power and miraculous signs and lying wonders," right? Because this technology, it's gonna help people that don't have limbs. It's gonna help people with autism. It's gonna help people with mental instability, right? It's gonna make people so smart that all you have to do is, you don't need to know to play the piano. Just put an implant in there and you know every song perfectly. "And all deceit of unrighteousness and those who will perish." And why will they perish? "Because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. They wanted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and more evil. They didn't want the tree of life. They did not love the truth in order for them to be saved." And I wonder today, even with brethren sometimes, how can you love the truth and still be going and looking into all this false, fake conspiracy stuff? Still be looking for something beyond the word of Yahweh. Still be looking and reading stuff that you know 80% of it or 90% of it is fake, and you'll still read it because you'll find one bit of whatever there. "And because of this, Elohim will send to them a working of deception for them to believe the lie." And what's the lie? They're going to believe that mankind can live forever. That's what Satan will bring. He'll bring this promise that they'll live forever through this technology of the mark of the beast, which they're going to have. "That those not believing in the truth, but who have delighted in unrighteousness, all may be damned." So this is why I say more people will be lost in our time than ever before. Because now, it's not just a matter of corrupted human nature. Now it's a matter of people willingly choosing to become one with Satan. Willingly choosing this through the mark of the beast, which, like I said, the technology is already here. And then verse 13. "But we ought to thank Elohim always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith," right? This is why we need to be sanctified. This is why you have to not be a truth seeker only. You have to be a truth lover. You have to love the truth and embrace the truth and hold on to the truth. And whatever is not of the truth, you have to get out of your life. It's that simple. We have to cherish the truth at all costs, because in a world of so much deception, how grateful are we to Yahweh that we're not deceived, that we do have eyes to see and ears to hear, but we have to cherish it. John 4 and verse 23. John 4 and verse 23. Yeshua says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father also seeks such, the ones worshiping him." You can't worship in falsehoods. "Elohim is spirit, and the ones worshiping him must worship in spirit and truth." Like we said, Sabbath is true. Sunday is a lie, right? Birthdays are lies. Christmas is lies. Easter is lies. There's only one truth And you have to embrace the truth, believe the truth, and follow the truth at all costs. Must only follow the word of Yahweh. That is truth. And like I said, stay away from a lot of this conspiracy stuff. Because you know what the problem is with the conspiracy stuff? Part of it is true. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Part of those conspiracies are true. But a part of them are not true. And it's the part that's not true that will take you down these dead-end roads. John 8, verse 31. John 8 and verse 31, a few pages over. Then Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's the only thing that will set you free, is the truth. And I know when I came into the truth, and I was searching, and I was looking, and I remember Jehovah's Witnesses trying to come at me, and other people trying to come at me, and I didn't know any better. I didn't know the Bible. But I know when the truth was given to me from the elder that came from the Church of God, it just opened my soul to peace. That when you see the truth and you can put line upon line in scripture upon scripture, like we're going over in our Bible studies on no immortal soul, on the dead being asleep in the grave, of there no eternal, all these things, and you're seeing it from scripture, it just gives so much peace to your soul to be able to see the truth for what it is. The truth is what sets you free. Conspiracy theories, falsehoods, and sin only enslaves you. It only enslaves you. It doesn't free you. John 18. And this is when Yeshua is before Pilate, right? In verse 37. And look what Pilate says. Pilate says to him, to Yeshua, "Are you really a king?" And Yeshua answered, "You say I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, that I might witness to the truth." And that's what we are. We need to be witnesses to the truth. "Everyone being of the truth hears my voice." Wow. "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." And what's Pilate's answer? What is truth, right? In Satan society, where he's the prince of the power of the airwaves, you're not getting any truth. You're going to get a mixture. You're going to get a mixture, but you're not going to get truth. There's no truth in Satan's new world order, and that's why we have to come out of commercial Babylon and the system of commercial Babylon to be sanctified. In the world today, there is no truth. It is a mixture of the knowledge of good and evil, and like I said, even more evil. Everything is diluted. The news media mixes truth and error and lies every single day, and they give the new world order demonic narrative. And it doesn't matter where you're going, I'm telling you, it's all the same, because they're all getting it from the same source, you know? So maybe one of these Christian websites may have a little less evil stuff than the next person, but it's still a mixture of good and evil. And you'd be surprised. You know, people send me all the time, they send me articles, they send me links to websites, and I can't believe sometimes the shocking stuff that Christians will look at or follow in evil demonic stuff. So it's all evil. We have to stick to the truth of the word, because it's all a mixture. It's all a mixture. Because you know what? They're seeking knowledge. They're not seeking truth. They're seeking knowledge. They're not seeking truth. And we're right back to the Garden of Eden all over again. And like I said, the chip that goes in your hand will simply be the motherboard to control humans who have given their allegiance over to the beast power, the beast system. And people are going to love it. Because you know what? They're going to be smarter, and they're going to be have more power, and they're going to feel more empowered by having this knowledge. But you know what I say? I'd rather have less knowledge and make sure everything I know is truth. So I'd rather have 10% knowledge and know that every single thing of that 10% is truth than have 50% knowledge and maybe 20% is false. I don't want anything false in there. I don't want anything corrupt. It's like having a little bit of cancer, you know? You don't want any of it. You don't want anything that's in there. Mankind from the Garden of Eden willingly have surrendered their will to Satan over Yahweh. Let's go to Romans 1, the last scripture we're going to go into. Romans 1. Because, you know, like I said, we're back to the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right, your eyes are open. Did Adam and Eve know more when their eyes are open? Yeah, they knew they were naked. They knew certain things, right? but the knowledge will be tainted with evil. It'll be a mixture of lies, and we only want the truth. It'll be a mixture. And when that mixture comes, that's what's going to mess you up. Because as time goes on, you won't know the difference. And I can tell you, I knew many a brethren that were good people and wound up getting away from the Bible into the wrong things, and they got into this mixture. And from then, you know, a lie is a lie is a lie. And like I said, it doesn't matter what it is. It's all evil if it's not of the truth. Romans 1 and verse 16. Because now these conspiracies, they just go, you can't believe how far all of this stuff goes. You know, and there's whole organizations, you know, Q organizations and these things that have so much of this stuff. And it's all satanic. It's all from Satan. But let's see the source of it now. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the good news of Messiah, for it is the power of Elohim to salvation for everyone believing, both to Jew first and to the Aramaean. For in it the righteousness of Elohim is revealed from faith to faith, even as has been written, the just shall live by faith." This is where we got to put these blinders on. This is where we got to keep our focus on Scripture, the Word, the doctrine, the faith. We know this other stuff. Avoid it. Stay away from it. That's why I say stay off the internet. Stay off social media. Get rid of your iPhone. All of this stuff. Stop being connected to Satan transforming you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because the just will live by faith, and the word of Yahweh is faith. That's where we need to be, in the word of Yahweh. "For the wrath of Elohim from heaven is revealed against all the iniquity and wickedness of men who unjustly suppress the truth. Because the thing known of Elohim is clearly known within them, for Yahweh revealed it to them," right? Everyone knows Yahweh revealed himself through his creation. "For from the foundations of the world," back to Garden of Eden, "the invisible things of Elohim were clearly seen and understood in the things he created, even his eternal power and divinity, so that they might be without excuse," right? How could you have the mountains and the birds and all the beautiful rivers and valleys and stars and planets without someone who created them? "Because they knew Yahweh, but they did not glorify him and give thanks to him as Elohim, but became vain in their imaginations, and their unwise heart was darkened," right? Yahweh was known to them in the beginning. Everyone on the earth knew who he was, but they didn't give him glory as the creator, and they got more darkened in their mind. "Professing to be wise, they became as fools." And I always say, my uncle used to have an expression, "You're so smart, you're stupid." And it is true. "Professing to be wise, they become foolish." That these people that have all these letters after their names and PhDs and this and doctor this and all the other stuff, that at the end of the day, they're going to say, "We all came from nothing. You know, we came from an amoeba of nothing, and an explosion happened and we came from there. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into a likeness of an image of a corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things," right? Evolution, evolution. "Because of this, Elohim gave them up to filthy lusts of their heart, and their bodies to be dishonest, to be dishonored among them." So Yahweh said, okay, you want to go this way? Because the natural way of creation is what? A man and a woman. The woman coming from the man, coming together as one through the marriage covenant, having children in the family unit. That's the basis of creation. Evolution has no family unit. So Yahweh says, I'll let you go. And where does it end up? "They changed the truth of Elohim into the lie and worshipped and served the created thing more than the creator who is blessed forever. Because of this, Elohim gave them up to dishonorable passions, for even their females changed the natural use of their sex to that contrary to nature. And also their males forsook the use of females, which is natural, and they burned with lust toward one another, male with male. They did what was shameful and received in themselves the just recompense of their error. And as they did not determine within themselves to know Elohim, Yahweh has given them over to a vain mind, a reprobate mind, that they might do what they ought not to. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, iniquity, covetousness, malice, being full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, becoming whisperers, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, braggarts, inventors of evil things, weak-minded, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful. So here it is, right? Where does the spirit of Yahweh, when the second Adam came and he brought us the spirit of Yahweh to make us a new creation, what did it lead to? Love, joy, peace, patience, faith, long-suffering, right? Where does the spirit of Satan lead to? All these things. Slanders, haters of Elohim, braggers, inventors of evil things, disobedient, truth breakers, unforgiving, unmerciful. It's two totally contrary spirits. And now, as we are being filled with the spirit of Yahweh like we've never been before, we're in the second Shavuot where spirit is being poured out. We are changing in this way. And yet, as we see the transplants and the things they're going to do to man, man will become one with Satan. He's already given allegiance over to the commercial Babylon system of Satan, but now man will become one with Satan, and that's why the gulf will be so wide that the people, the first fruits, will be able to go to that other side, and them over there will be able to come. There's one place. The first fruits to the kingdom of Yahweh, the other people to the lake of fire. Who, knowing the righteous judgment, verse 32 of Yahweh, that those practicing such things he condemns to death, not only do they do them, but they also associate with those who practice them, right? Why would believers be having association with evil people, with sinners, with people that leave the faith, with people that are rebellious, that people that were only going to deceive them? Why would you have any relationship with these people whatsoever? Because unfortunately, there's wheat among tares, and some people are like them. Some people are like them. So, like I said, it's the Garden of Eden all over again. Mankind from the garden is willingly surrendered over to the serpent instead of to Elohim. And the spirit of Yahweh is a total different spirit than the mark of the beast that gives to pride, envy, quarrel, disobedient, unforgiving. I've always said there must be more to the mark of the beast than simply having a chip implanted, as you will lose your salvation for taking it. Now I can see why. Now I can see, because it's so much more than just a chip. It's literally allowing Satan to come and dwell within you. Because it's not about having a chip implant. It's about rejecting Yahweh's spirit to become a child of his. And instead having your mind implanted by the chip and giving your allegiance and soul to Satan. You are literally becoming like him. So, here it is, right? We're at that time. The technology is already here. The virus is already here. The vaccine, they're pushing. We are getting so close to these things, and we have to work fast. We really have to work fast as believers, because the time is getting short. I don't know how long it will take to instill this worldwide system. I hope it's still a few years, but it might only be a few months. But we can see from the virus that we're dangerously close. As the technology is already here, they're talking about the end of this year already doing this. They now have a reason to do it, and all they need is the opportunity, which may come from a vaccine when the vaccine is ready. May we cherish the truth of Yahweh has given us and never compromise on that truth and stay sanctified from Satan's world order that he is the God of. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming. We need to keep our focus and endure till the end. The clock is ticking. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.